The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Last week, I started this message, Fulfilling Your Destiny. And I told you that this is a message to me. I'm encouraging myself. I'm encouraging myself because I need encouragement. I want everybody in here to be encouraged. But I need to know that I can encourage myself in the Lord. You see, sometimes you've been in ministry for many years. If you're not careful, you can get stagnant. And I need to learn to renew myself in the Lord. I need to learn to do what David did when he was at Ziklag. And everybody turned against him. It doesn't matter. He didn't have anybody on his side. It says that David renewed himself or brought himself spiritual uplifting in the Lord. In the Lord. He did this. David did it. He was able to do it himself. Amen? So we've got to be able to do that. Because I'm going to tell you, for every one of us, there's going to be times in our life where we feel like we are all alone. You may not be all alone, but you're going to feel like you're all alone. And if you can't renew yourself in the Lord, you're going to be in trouble. So we need this. So we started talking about, we're looking at Matthew chapter 14. And this is the story of Jesus telling the disciples to get in the boat. And the first thing that I talked about last week was get in the boat. We all have to get in the boat. Amen? Hallelujah. Pastor Chris is in the boat with me. Thank you. I'm glad. Anybody else in the boat with me? Amen. All right. Glory. We got to get in the boat. You know, and for Bethel Worship Center, that means you get on board here at Bethel Worship Center. You become a part of Bethel Worship Center. You serve God at Bethel Worship Center. You do what you can at Bethel Worship Center. But there's so much more to it than that. It's not just Bethel Worship Center. If we're not careful, we become a stagnant pool within ourselves. And we don't want that. We got to recognize that Bethel Worship Center is just the beginning of it. I believe that we're supposed to be a flowing fountain. And then on that first level of the fountain, have you seen those fountains with four tiers on them? They fill up and they just keep flowing and it's just a constant flow. There's supposed to be a constant flow out of God's people. And I believe that first tier is family. For individually, for me, I'm supposed to flow into my family. And listen, there's a lot of people that are not flowing into their families. We can become stagnant in that area as well. We've got to flow into our families. We've got to minister to our families. We have to encourage and uplift our families. The next level is church. We flow. After we flow into our families, then we're healthy enough. And believe me, we've got to get healthy enough to flow into the church. Because if we get a bunch of dysfunctional people flowing into the church, we're in trouble. So we got to be healthy enough to flow into the church. So we flow into the church. And then once we're flowing into the church and the church's needs are being met and people are being touched and there's an abundance for everybody, we flow into the community. And the community fills up. And then we flow into the world. So there's four levels of outflow that comes from us, from that. From our life into other people's lives. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. The pool gets bigger and it becomes stronger and it becomes more refreshing because there's more people involved with it. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. This is a part of a new direction, I believe, that God is leading us in and a new purpose that we will have in the very near future. Flowing, having this outflow flowing through us. All right, so Jesus told the disciples and he gave them, it wasn't a command, but it was a strong request. Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. And you know, here's something that's very important. When you have someone that is placed by God and you believe that your leader is placed by God in a position as pastor, elder, deacon, whatever their position is in the church, you should respect that office. You may not always agree with that individual, but you should respect the office. Okay? Look, I don't agree with our president on things, some of the things that he does and some of the things that he agrees with, but I respect that office. And I should respect that office. Everyone should. And I think need to be careful saying things negative about our leaders. And we need to be careful. That goes for the church. Be careful. But when a leader requests something from you and you don't agree, guess what? You know what that's called? If you do it, it's called submission. If you don't, it's called rebellion. You see, you can't even begin to submit until you disagree with something that the leader says. That's what submission is. It's easy, absolutely. You can just get right on board. But when you disagree, that's called submission. Because you recognize the office, you recognize the position, you recognize that the person is operating according to the anointing of God. Now, listen, we're not getting crazy about this. That if pastor says drink Kool-Aid, we're all going to come together and we're going to drink some poison Kool-Aid. You know better than that, okay? Hopefully you have enough respect for your leader, for your pastor, that you know he's not going to tell you to do something stupid. Okay, you're all discerning adults that have a mind of your own. You're wise enough to make those kind of decisions. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're talking about the day-to-day operation of the church. And sometimes you just disagree with what needs to be done. But guess what? Somebody has to make a decision. And if we let the majority make a decision, we're going to be in big trouble. Because that's called democracy. And there's never been a democracy on the face of the earth that ever worked. Doesn't work. Well, I'm not getting political here this morning. I'm just telling you. You see, we don't have a democracy in this country. It's a republic. It's a democratic republic. Therefore, we don't all vote on everything all the time. We vote in officials to do that for us. You have, and you, by your vote, by coming to this church. Now, you know, wait a minute. I need to back up just a little bit. There's nothing going on here. I'm not scolding anybody. I just want you to understand that. I'm not trying to scold anybody or anything. These are just some things that I feel like I need to share, that we need to recognize. This not only applies in the church, it applies in our community, it applies in our nation. You know, yeah, as parents, absolutely it applies. That's why you as a parent can say, no. And when the child says, why? Because I told you so. Because I said so. There's nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because you're the adult. You have enough wisdom to make a decision for that child that is in their benefit. Praise God. And they can rebel if they want to. But hallelujah, it doesn't matter. You're the adult. You're the parent. And if you try to be their friend, you will destroy their life. Be a parent like God has called you to be. That's called leadership. And the same thing applies everywhere we go. Leaders are not always loved. It's a fact. Because they have to make decisions that are not always popular. Praise God that we recognize the order of things. This applies in husband and wife relationship. Look, the Bible says, submit, women, submit to your husband. Doesn't even begin until you disagree with a decision. This is not telling you to be a doormat and let him walk over top of you. It's telling you to take, to allow the husband, the man, to take the rightful position in the family. So that if something goes bad, guess whose fault it is? Amen. She can say, I told you so. See if you'd listen to me. Amen. And she does. Praise the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah. Everybody's listening.
Hallelujah. All right. Get in the boat. And here's the thing we have to do. Is not only get in the boat, but you stay in the boat. Don't we see people get out of the boat all the time. Well, it's okay if Jesus is calling you forth, and we're going to find out that he called Peter forth. It's okay if Jesus says, it's okay, step out of the boat. But people get out of the boat all the time when Jesus didn't say, get out of the boat. So you get in the boat, and you stay in the boat until Jesus says, get out of the boat. Now, I'm encouraging myself this morning. I want you to hear what I'm saying, because there are many times, as a pastor, I'm just being honest with you. I talk to pastors all over. They go through the same things. You just feel like you're not making a difference. You know? You just feel like it's not happening the way you want it to happen. So I have to encourage myself to stay in the boat. Now, I don't have any intentions of getting out of the boat. Okay, I'm in this boat. I'm going to stay in this boat. We're going to move forward. We'll keep doing what God wants us to do. But I'm encouraging myself this morning to stay in the boat. Stay the course. God has told me, stay the course. Stay the course. Hallelujah. Okay, that's the first thing. We're going to get in a boat. We're going to stay in a boat. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 23. Well, we'll go back and we'll read the first verse again this morning. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. All right, what happened? When Jesus tells you to get in the boat, that does not mean that everything's going to be calm. And everything's going to be okay all the time. Get in the boat, and while you're going, expect storms. Don't be surprised when a storm comes. Know that there are going to be storms. If you do what Jesus Christ has called you to do, you will, without a doubt, encounter storms in your life. Storms are going to come. Sometimes storms are brought on by the enemy. Sometimes storms are God testing you, believe it or not. I'm not going to try to discern what those are. Sometimes storms are just life happening. Life does happen. This fourth watch of the night was probably about between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So these men had been out on this water rowing for a long, long time. Now the Sea of Galilee is probably, from everything that I can understand, it's about 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. So these men should have been able to get in that boat and over a course of about 3 hours, row to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the other interesting thing about the Sea of Galilee is that there are sudden storms that do arise. It has to do with its location, the mountains around it. In fact, a few years ago, there was such a storm that came up that they had 10-foot waves that washed in on the surrounding towns, the coastal towns there on the Sea of Galilee, and destroyed some of the cities and the towns there. Huge to a 10-foot tall wave is a big wave from a lake, because basically that's what this is a lake. But it's a big lake. So these things do happen. These storms happen. And these men have been out there rowing, and suddenly this storm came up, and they were rowing with all their might. Now here's, I believe this is an important point for us. That when we encounter the storm, don't stop rowing. Keep on rowing. Keep on fighting. Keep on moving forward. Do everything you know to do. God has equipped us and He's empowered us. And I believe that that's a word for me here at this church. For Bethel Worship Center, keep on rowing. Don't stop rowing, Bethel. God wants you to keep rowing. There's storms. We've encountered storms here and we've encountered storms there and we've had this, that, and another thing happen. But God says, keep on rowing. In the middle of the storm, keep rowing. The storms are going to happen. But we're going to keep moving. In the very middle of the storm, when all hell breaks loose. Because that's what sometimes it is. It's hell's fury trying to stop the people of God from accomplishing God's perfect will in their life. So we know there's going to be storms, and let's just accept the fact that there are going to be storms. They're coming. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. We can't, although we're supposed to keep on rowing, we need to be looking for the Lord. Recognizing that in the midst of the storm, the Lord's going to show up. When you trust Jesus, you don't have to fear. We really do not have to fear anything that can come up on us. Because Christ has promised He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. Number three, you won't fear if you can recognize Jesus as Lord. Verse 27 and 28. And immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Wow. This is an incredible story. There was a huge storm going on. This boat was being rocked back and forth. And here comes Jesus walking on the top of those waves. They could have been 10-foot high waves. We don't know what they were like, but this was a storm, and we know that He was walking on the water where the water was being tossed to and fro. Jesus says, Peter sees it, and Jesus says, I am, it is I, be not afraid. But actually the literal translation here is, Jesus said this, I am, be not afraid. Now, this is a direct reference to what God said to Moses in the wilderness, I am that I am. And it's a direct reference to what Jesus said in John 8:58. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He was absolutely saying, I am the Lord of all this that is going on around you right now. It's not happening without my knowledge and without my power. I am in the midst of it. And I'm with you. That's what He was saying to Peter. And Peter recognized. Peter knew exactly what He was saying. He was saying, I know. He was saying, I am. And I will be. And I'll take care of you. And Peter was able. Peter had a revelation. This is the first place in Matthew that we see Peter calling Jesus Lord. That was a revelation to Peter. I see my Lord coming. Not just my master, not just my teacher, not just my rabbi. That's my Lord. So when you're in a storm, you got to see Jesus as the Lord. If you don't see Him as Lord, you're going to have problems. You're going to be like all the other disciples in the boat, cowering in the back of the boat while the waves sweep over you. But Peter, what did Peter do? Now, I know we like to make Peter out to be a bad guy because he didn't have enough faith to continue walking on the water. But at least he got out of the boat. At least he stepped out. Can you imagine what it would have been like? This boat was being tossed to and fro, thrown all over the place, and Peter stands up in the middle of the boat Have you ever been in a small boat in a pond or the river and you try to stand up in it? It's not an easy thing to do, is it? Can you imagine in a storm? Peter stood up. Now listen, I'm going to say this to you because this is very important. I know this from experience, that when you stand up in the storm, not everyone's going to agree with you. They're not going to say, oh, wonderful, good job. Way to stand up. No, they're going to say, sit down, Peter, you're rocking the boat. What's wrong with you? Don't you know there's a storm going on? Why are you standing in the middle of this storm? And some of them are going to grab a hold of your shirt tail and try to pull you back down. Because they don't like it when somebody else stands up. But we're going to stand up. This storm is going on. There's a storm in this world that's going on. And guess what? We're going to stand up. There's a storm over the nations that's taking place. But we're going to stand up in Jesus' name. We're going to stand up and proclaim Jesus is Lord. We're going to stand up and preach the gospel, the good news to the people who are dying. We're going to stand up. We're going to stand up and we're going to proclaim, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come forth. Remember, that's what the service was all about today. Stepping out, moving forward. Whatever analogy hit home with you, that's what God was saying. Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. We're going to end it right there. God wants us to step out of the boat this morning. Jesus is calling his people forward. I believe this morning that the whole service was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit for us to rise up, for us to come up higher, for us to break tradition in our life, to move forward, to accomplish the things that God has in store for us individually and for us as Bethel Worship Center, as a body. But we've got to hear the voice of the Lord. You've got to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord God. When Peter said, or when Jesus said to Peter, I am, Peter recognized him as Lord because that's what he said. He called him Lord. That's what we have to do. We have to recognize the voice of our Lord. Hear him and move forward with him. I was reading a story about a superintendent of the Assemblies of God who was in the Middle East one time. And he was there where there was a well and a group of shepherds came forward. They all came around this well with their sheep. And each one of them had, he said, it looked like they had at least 100 sheep in their flock. And all those sheep just kind of mingled together. And he thought to himself, how in the world are they going to be able to separate those sheep? And when they all had water and they had all refreshed themselves, each shepherd started singing as he walked away. And as he began to sing, his sheep began to follow him from that well in his direction. His sheep knew his voice. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. I believe he's speaking to us today. He wants us to know his voice. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you this morning. You've already touched people's hearts. People have already made commitment to move forward, to make changes, to rise higher, to break forth and break free. And I praise you for that, Lord. We can't orchestrate a service the way you can. We just want to be in your will. So today, we're going to leave this place knowing that you've been moving and touching and delivering. And Father, we have made this commitment today. Every person who has said to you, I see you as Lord. Help me to go forward. Help me to step out of the boat. Help me to rise higher. Help me to come up, Father. Help me to break free. That's my desire. Today, Father God, I believe it will happen in every life that desires that to happen. There is freedom. There is power. There are chains that are being broken that only you can break. Father God, today we proclaim the name of the Lord. And we just take this act of obedience and we step forth from this boat. Father, we have risen up in the midst of the storm. We're standing here just waiting for you to give us the command to step forth. We give you glory and honor today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.